In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and I've got another Coolest Conversations podcast lined up for you, presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Today, I'm chatting with Jed Becker. He's the guitarist and principal songwriter for the New York City power pop group Joy Buzzer. Their single Judy, Judy, Judy is out now on Wicked Cool Records, and it's the recent coolest song in the world. We'll hear a portion of it now, followed by my interview with Jed on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Manfred here in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and it's time for today's Coolest Conversations. Joining me is Jed Becker. He's the guitarist in the New York City band Joy Buzzer. Their new single, Judy, 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 is out on Wicked Cool Records, and it's our coolest song in the world this week. How are you, Jed?
Great, thanks. Pleasure to be here with you today.
Thanks for joining me. I heard that you guys are from New York City. Is that spread all over the New York area, or where exactly?
Some of us are in Brooklyn, some of us are in Lower Manhattan, some of us are in Upper Manhattan, so I guess that spreads us out a little bit.
Spread out a little bit. I know that your drummer, is also in Palmyra Delran's band, The Doppelgang. That's Mark Broder. He plays with you and Joy Buzzer, and I know Palmyra did the cover art for your single. She also told me that you've had luck writing songs for TV shows like Dora the Explorer, and I want to talk about all that stuff, but first, where are you from originally?
I'm from Long Island originally. I grew up in Jericho.
Where on Long Island is Jericho?
Jericho is right in the center of Nassau County. I went to Syosset High School.
And so I've read you're a multi-instrumentalist. What was your first instrument?
I started playing piano by ear when I was about 5 or 6 years old. So my mom took me to a local woman that gave me piano lessons for quite a while. And so I was a pianist. I hope that your audience won't hold it against me that I went to the Berklee College of Music. Sorry, folks. Don't hate me.
No one's going to hate you for that. I mean, you say pianist, and of course I think of Jerry Lee Lewis. So there you go.
There you go, you know. So, no, I just think
And when that, you say you were living, so you had a piano there in the home.
Yes, yeah, a piano too, and like I would listen to rock records, and so I knew that there were other instruments that they were using. So at one point my mom, I told her I wanted an organ, you know, so I'm thinking of like a Vox organ or something like that. Yeah. She went out and bought me one of these big home organs with the stops and like the 2 or 3 keyboards. So I played that for a while, but then it just kind of sat like a brick in the corner of the dining
room. Wait a minute. Those organ things, you know, when I was a kid, we would go to the, in some of the malls, not all malls, but some malls had these organ stores. You know what I'm talking
about? Yes, of course.
And they were like massive. And of course it had like built-in little drum machines.
Yes, yes.
So is that something that you had in the home?
I don't know if I had a drum machine in it, but after I messed around with that for a little while, for some reason, it just didn't feel very rock and roll to me. I guess it felt a little more churchy. And so I just went back to the piano. And eventually I bought an RMI electric piano. Some of our older listeners will remember that. I did have a Vox Continental eventually that I took the legs off and I sat it on top of my RMI electric piano so I could look a little bit more cool like my heroes back in the day.
Right. Well, how old were you then?
14, 15. Yeah, probably around then when I started when I was in my first rock bands.
Oh, so you were playing in bands like in high school.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, many of them.
Well, you mentioned going on and going to Berkeley. So you figured out pretty early on you wanted to try and make music as a vocation.
Yes, I was very lazy then, and I'm still extremely lazy. And music just seemed come like it was just the path of least resistance. It's what came most easily to me, and so I just decided to go in that direction. Not only was it easy, but I loved it. Of course, I loved it. Music was everything, as it was to everyone my age back in high school. It was all about music, and since I thought I was good at it and I loved it. And as I say, it came easily to me. I decided to give it a shot and pursue it.
And so in the Joy Buzzer, you're primarily the guitarist
Yes, and the songwriter.
and the songwriter. And so when did you pick up the guitar?
Okay, so I had always casually messed around with whatever acoustic guitars were lying around. And as I became someone that wrote music for radio commercials, TV commercials, and eventually television shows. I had an electric guitar that I would play poorly just to, play through basic chords or play a simple melody line to add to my arrangements. I taught myself to play bass well enough that I could add live bass and not have to play synth bass or something else like that in order to add to my arrangements. And then I met a fellow who's a tremendous friend of mine and the co-producer of the songs that Joy Buzzer is putting out. His name is Oskold Buck. And Oskold, I met and we became good friends and we went out drinking together. And we thought, wouldn't it be fun to start a band playing songs like those Nuggets songs that we loved so much? All these underground garage rock one-hit wonders. So we began a band called the Lord Calverts, and Oskold is a wonderfully talented guitarist. So all I needed to do was play guitar well enough to, play through garage rock songs, nothing too sophisticated or difficult. So I got an electric guitar and I strapped on my electric guitar, and I was the second guitarist behind a really wizard of a guitarist in Oskold to play in the Lord Calverts.
Well, I want to
So,
ask you some more about the Lord Calverts, but I want to find out when you met him. But does that tie in at all to this playing, to developing? Or you mentioned before writing stuff for television that there was also commercial things, maybe jingles. I can't recall.
I had been doing that for years.
Well, how did you get from Berkeley to even get into that field?
I left Boston, came back to New York, moved back to Long Island, and I was in some local bands for a while. And then I went into New York in order to try to make my living in the world, and eventually found work in post-production facilities as an audio engineer. And so I also, at that time, had a different partnership that produced. Because we were in the post-production world, we had contacts with producers. I was in the post-production audio world almost exclusively in radio and TV commercials, not in long form, as it was called. And so we made friends with copywriters and producers in the radio and TV world. And so we'd say, hey, we write songs too. Can we write some jingles for some of your stuff? Can we write some underscores that would go underneath your commercials? And so we got some work there. Then eventually I got a job at a jingle house where I did that full time. And so I had been doing that for years until eventually it led to more audio engineering work. I spent a lot of time not necessarily writing music, but just working for post-production facilities, recording the voiceovers and editing the voiceovers and editing the music and adding the sound effects and mixing radio spots, TV spots. So I did that for quite a while also.
Well, I've read that, I mean, you were nominated for an Emmy, also earned, recording?
A gold record.
Yeah, gold record. So does that tie into Dora the Explorer?
Yes, it does. So eventually I found myself working for a post-production facility, recording the voices. I did everything on the audio side for the Dora show and for a show called Go Diego Go and some other cartoons as well, where I would record the voices, edit the voices, add the sound effects, you know, and do everything to that on that side. And eventually I let them know that I was also a songwriter, and eventually they started using my songs, and then they started using
Jed, I have to interrupt and ask the map song.
No, I did not write that. Okay. This is the subject that comes up anytime the subject of Dora the Explorer comes up, and people say, oh, did you write the map? Oh, did you write the theme song? Did you write this? So, unfortunately for me and my bank book, I didn't write any of the songs that appear in every episode, but pretty much at a certain point, every episode, there would be an episode-specific song for that episode.
Right.
And I wound up writing about 100 of those.
All right. Was that like at the end, they sort of like recap the adventure?
Well, it would be in the middle. Okay. They would meet a new animal, and they'd have a new goal. So they would sing a song about having to get to the Crystal Kingdom. And so I'd write a Crystal Kingdom song, or even something much simpler than that. Especially on Diego, many of the songs were just simple language. So we would learn how to say push in Spanish. And so I'd just write a push song, something like that. So I wound up writing many of those. And eventually the underscoring composer, wonderful guy, wound up leaving the Dora show. And I was invited to audition to do the underscores for the show. And I won that job and wound up underscoring over 60 episodes of Dora and Diego as well.
Wake, that is so cool. All right. So you've got this like a work thing going on. Mm-hmm. And you're able to be creative with that and still be involved with music. And then you decide at some point to put together the Lord Calverts with your longtime collaborator. What time is this roughly? What year is this where the Lord Calverts become active originally?
I think the Lord Calverts started in about 2012.
Okay. And you guys were together up until the pandemic, or is it still ongoing?
Looks like we're finally going to start playing out again.
So you've got a Lord Calvert's gig happening June the 10th. Where?
Parkside Lounge on the Lower East Side of New York City.
Very, very cool. And so now the Lord Calvert's also share members with Joy Buds, or I think lead singer Kevin Lydon. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Kevin, all right, so you've still got the Lord's Calvert's are still going on. What's the impetus to form Joy Buzzer?
Joy Buzzer formed out of the pandemic. We had decided to put together a group that was going to do covers. And so I invited Mark Broder, who is an incredibly talented drummer, and some others to join Oskold and I and Kevin, our lead singer, Kevin Lydon, to just be a cover band. We called ourselves the Poppertunists. And so we put out a few songs very casually. It was just, we started just before the pandemic. And then we were one of those bands doing like Zoom recordings that became very popular during the pandemic, where you'd see five guys in boxes collaborating on songs. And then I believe a lot of creative people found that when they were on lockdown, they turned into their creativity in order to find ways to just keep themselves busy and keep themselves sane. Right. And I had been writing for the Lord Calverts and very much locked into a 60s garage rock mentality, of course, when writing for that band. So when the pandemic started, I just started writing songs for myself without having them specifically in mind to be garage rock. And so all these songs just started pouring out of me, and many of them were like in the power pop genre, which is a real love of mine. So after I'd written about a dozen of these songs and about a year had passed, and now we're moving into 2021, maybe late 2021, I asked Kevin and Mark if they wanted to perform these songs live. Oskold was unable to join us. And so we started a new band called Joy Buzzer, doing exclusively these songs that I had written. And I've just pursued that. And it's been going really well. Obviously, I'm thrilled that Wicked Cool is going to be releasing our first two singles. Hopefully, there will be a lot more after that. And that's really my main pursuit right now is Joy Buzzer.
You know, you mentioned the Lord Calverson's kind of this kind of garage rock thing. And with Joy Buzzer, it's more of a power pop thing. What are some of these, what are some, or what's a major influence, let's say, to you when you are being creative and just and coming up with material? What's the foundation kind of artist or influence that you have?
Right. So as a power pop band, I look back on bands like XTC is a huge influence on me, Squeeze, Badfinger, love Brendan Benson stuff. I'm also a really huge fan of Fountains of Wayne. I think the songwriters of that band were really brilliant. Chris Collingwood. And of course, we lost the wonderful and brilliant Adam Schlesinger. So I want to give a shout out to Adam. He was a genius songwriter and it was a tremendous loss.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of the name of the tribute band that we played a track from. I think it was last year they had a coolest song. But yeah.
Do you know who Butch Walker is?
Yes, we play Butch Walker.
So
yeah, he's from Rome, Georgia.
Oh, is he?
Outside of Atlanta. Yeah, yeah.
He is so damn talented. So
very talented guy. Yeah, yeah. He grew up, I was talking to him before about that side of the state of Georgia's got the Etowah Indian Mounds. And I figured as a teenager, he was probably running out there a lot. And he was.
definitely, as a
teen, that's someplace you'd want to go.
Right.
You know.
So about a year after Adam died, they did a tribute concert to him online, of course, because it was in the height of COVID. And Butch did a cover of a song that was an unreleased song that Adam had written called Guitar Center. Uh-huh. If you haven't seen this, go on to YouTube and watch Butch Walker doing Guitar Center. It's fantastic. It's really great. You won't regret the suggestion. It's fantastic.
Oh, very cool. Well, yeah, let's talk about this, our coolest song in the world this week, your first single out on Wicked Cool. It's Judy, Judy, Judy. How did you wind up being on Wicked Cool?
So, like many unsigned artists, we found the means and the ways to get our song on the air in Underground Garage. The Lord Calverts had four maybe songs played on Underground Garage as well. So I believe that I sent the song off to Julio, who is the producer for Rodney Bingenheimer.
Okay.
Because Rodney's show does accept submissions.
Right.
And they played it. And once it was in the library, Palmyra Del Ran, who's a really good friend of mine and a wonderful person, she started playing the song too. So my understanding is that Stephen Van Zandt heard that song on her show and contacted Palmyra and said, "Who are those guys?" And asked if we had any more material. And we had another song called I Want to Scream that we had finished producing, fully produced. And next thing you know, we were told that both of those songs were going to be released on Wicked Cool and that Judy, Judy, Judy was going to be the coolest song of the week. And I have to tell you, I'm absolutely thrilled about it.
Well, did Cary Grant or Larry Storch help inspire the song?
You know, it's not at all. It was... I mean, you're a songwriter, so you understand. Sometimes when you're just playing riffs and you're just looking for words, I know Keith Richards works this way also, and he would give song titles to Mick. It's just mouthfeel. It's just the syllables that you wind up making as you're strumming through something, just looking for a lyrical idea. And just playing through that riff, I just started singing Judy, 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 Judy. And so then I said, well, what if it was Judy? And I started imagining a scenario that would make sense for that. And that's how I came up with it.
Well, so you mentioned Mark Broder. He's a drummer in the Doppelgang, who backs up Palmyra. And you mentioned her being a good friend, and she did the cover art for the single. How did that line up? I have not thought of Palmyra as a visual artist, but now I am. How did this come together?
Well, Joy Buzzer, you know, until we hooked up with Wicked Cool, of course, we were an unsigned band. And so it was completely self-funded. So there was, you know, any budget that came for mastering, mixing, recording studios basically came out of my pocket. So when it came time to produce the cover art for Judy, 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 I was asked if we had any artist in mind. And I said, well, I've been, you know, I'm not an artist, but I've been producing all the graphics for our promotion up until this point. And so I was asked, you know, if I would be comfortable letting the in-house team at Wicked Cool deal with it. And that included Palmyra. And that's how we wound up that way.
Very cool. Now, you mentioned the Lord Calvert's having a gig coming up. But what about Joy Buzzer? I thought I saw
Joy Buzzer. We do have a few dates coming up that I can promote. We actually have one coming up not too long from now in March, again at the Parkside Lounge.
Okay, so Joy Buzzer is playing at the Parkside Lounge in March. Do you recall what date it is?
Joy Buzzer is playing the Parkside Lounge in New York City on Saturday, March 18th.
March 18th. And I have found a listing of you guys playing the Bowery Electric on in April, Wednesday the 12th.
Yes, right? April 12th. And then we're going to be sharing the stage with the Gripweeds and the great Palmyra Del Ran at Berlin in New York City on May 12th, Saturday, May 12th.
Oh, okay. Well, very cool. So you've got at least a gig happening each month or the next several months.
That's right. That's right. And we're really looking forward to it.
So Judy, 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 that's a digital release. It's not a physical release. There's not a B-side to that. But you also mentioned there's another digital release upcoming. It's the tune I Want to Scream. And I'd like us to go out on that, kind of give us a preview of that tune. What can you tell me about that track? What inspired that?
I would say that I Want to Scream was inspired by just trying to write a kick-ass power pop tune. And that's what I came up with. I wish there was more of a backstory to it than that. Following through on Joy Buzzer, following through on that concept and looking at a set list for a live show and just trying to fill that out, saying, you know, here's another tempo that I haven't dealt with yet. Here's something else that would flush out the set in a way to just be one more really kick-ass power pop tune. So that was the impetus behind that song.
Did you say a couple moments ago that, you know, these songs were pouring out of you and that you had around a dozen of them? Are you thinking of putting out an album, or would you prefer to keep it to singles?
We would love to put out an album. Absolutely. There's a lot of great songs, a lot of great power pop still in the works, still in the pipe. So ready to come out with those and, you know, very excited for the future.
Well, Jed, thank you so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thanks so much, Manfred. Really appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
Well, we're going to give I Want to Scream a listen now. Here's Joy Buzzer and Little Steven's Underground Garage. With some of I Wanna Scream, that's Joy Buzzer here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. It's an upcoming single from the band due out May the 5th from Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's guitar player, Jed Becker, for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast.
Ryan Hamilton is a longtime favorite of ours here in the Underground Garage, and he's going to have a new album out on Wicked Cool Records in April. We'll check in with him and find out all about it on your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.